This is Night Force Action Report for July 16th, 2013. From HorribleNight.com, I am your host, Justin Lacey. Joining me this evening is Ethan Moses.
Hey, everybody.
How's it going, man? You've got all kinds of energy, Ethan.
I've got a ton of energy. I'm like, what would be the opposite of my state would be stiff, would be the opposite of my state.
We wouldn't want that. We wouldn't want that at all. Especially for the debut, the Horrible Night debut of Jason Thompson. What's up, Jason?
Not much.
Thanks for coming on the show, buddy.
No problem.
So yeah, your future endeavors with Horrible Night depend entirely on your performance tonight, so no pressure.
That is totally fine. Okay. I'm prepared. I'm ready to go.
We'll kind of get to what you're working on and why you're here a little bit later. But Ethan, tell me something about ping pong.
Oh shit, dude. So we've been playing a ton of ping pong. My wife went out to the bike shop the other day. I don't know, you know, what happened, but on the way there, she instead of getting a basket for her bike, she got ping pong paddles and
for her bike
ping pong.
For her bike?
Yeah, it's like, a bike with ping... Nah, she just, I guess, forgot the bike aspect of it, just got the ping pong paddles. Either way, I ended up with ping pong paddles. It was exciting, and I was excited about that. And then, because we have a ping pong table outside, and we played a ton of ping pong outside. In the outside. And we just...
I think you're holding back. I think you might have played a fuck ton.
No, we didn't quite, but I feel like an hour is like a ton. 2 hours is a shit ton, which is how long we play. Okay. 3 hours is a fuck ton. And then 4 hours means...
You know, you just need to be writing this down?
I'm glad we're classifying ping pong here.
It's legit. It's a legit amount of ping pong. Dude, she's good. Holy shit. Like, she was doing, like... She was all Chinese up on me with that. Like, she was playing some badass ping pong. It was great.
I thought before you got married, that was just one of the marriage tests, was the ping pong tournament. But apparently,
did you guys actually play ping pong during the actual marriage ceremony?
Excuse me, we're going to need to take a break real quick and need to test her ping pong skills out real quick. But I guess ping pong is different than table tennis, so maybe we were playing table tennis. So
yeah, it technically is. I don't. I and I think the rest of America don't know the difference. Okay. So
how far from the edge of the table were you standing?
I was real close. I was real tight on
that. Well, then that's not table tennis.
Okay, so it was ping pong. I ponged it up. Okay, good.
I played ping pong with the tennis racket.
Have you really?
Yeah, I was, you know.
Confused?
When you play tennis in high school, you do things with tennis rackets that normal people do not.
You used to make, like, spread peanut butter on sandwiches with tennis rackets and, like,
no, never. I would never do that.
You were kind of weird. They called you tennis hands.
You know how I feel about peanut butter. That would never happen.
I guess that isn't true, yeah.
That's truly a lie. Rude assumption, Ethan.
Yeah.
So is she good or you suck?
I felt like I was doing good. Here's the way I look at it. Intensity-wise, I was all up on it. But I made a lot of mistakes. She was... like cool and consistent. She was like leveled out the whole time, and she made me look silly. Yeah, no, she's good. You know, not great, but she's good. Better than me. So I'm not good. So
congratulations, Aubrey. Anything else going on, man?
I will warn anybody that happens to go to Berlin and go to a bar called Tarantino's. Do not order the Black Mamba. It's a specialty drink that consists of absinthe, a Jägermeister, and an energy drink, because it instantly turns you into an asshole. a big drunken dickhead. I for some reason, I can't drink liquor. It's just a horrible thing. I can't do it. It makes me a jerk. I'm usually a pretty nice guy. I had this drink, and I was at Tarantino's, so I thought I was being cool, but I wasn't. I had a polo on, so what the fuck was I expecting?
Did you say you're at Tarantino's?
Tarantino's is a bar. It's all based on Quentin Tarantino movies.
All right.
So it's all red lighting and stuff. It's different. It's a different kind of place. But then we went to this like grunge bar, and for some reason I was like yelling at people about them hating their dads and how they needed to resolve their issues with their dads and stuff like that. And I was just like, just hateful. And I was like, man, that's not me. And I woke up the next day and I felt like maybe I had a good night, but my wife said, you know, you act like a dick. Don't do that again. So, fuck Black Mambas, don't do it. It is the most poisonous snake in the world.
So. I'm actually surprised you guys don't have, like, a code word or a safe word for when you've crossed that line.
Like, I don't think it would matter.
It would matter, yeah.
I was going to say, I have a lot of pent-up angst inside of me, so I just have to let it out on
I think it would teenagers. Just make you more angry, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I was going to say, what do you mean? My mama hasn't changed me, it's changed you.
Pineapple, who? Pineapple. You could shove your safe word up your butthole.
That's about all, though.
Okay, good. Yeah. Oh, that was just... I got an image when you used the safe word as pineapple and then followed that up with that. Jason, what have you been up to?
Oh, man. Yesterday, it's been really hot here in Indiana. Like, I know...
It happened. Justin, summer, you know, summer finally happened.
Yeah, summer finally got here. And so, a couple of weeks, I've got to go out on the lake for this work thing. And so, I don't want to just show up as, like, the Great White Hope. And so I drive back and forth at like 2 o'clock every day, and of course the sun is only sun tanning my left arm.
Okay.
Good so luck. I have this like severely dark left arm. Every else, like my face, everything else is just like the whitest it can be. So yesterday my wife and I laid out on our porch sunbathing, and that had to be the most awkward, because we're basically all the back parts of every building face each other. So anytime anybody like walks their dog or just goes outside, we're just right there. And so I thought it was going to be a good idea. And I was like, oh, I'll do it every other day for 2 weeks. I'll catch up a little bit. Yeah. I didn't go out today. So that was the very most awkward thing ever.
I'm frightened of sun tanning. I went to the beach last week and I think my body would just peel away, like, you know, like the sunburn is the worst thing you could be. I don't think there's anything worse than that, except for when I got poison sumac that one time. That sucked. That was worse.
Yeah,
but so. Yeah, I'm afraid of it. We're white people, man. We're not good at tanning.
That's true. Yeah. So my wife is obviously a way more
tannable,
darker complected, than I am. So I have to just do it at like little bits of a time. So like 15 minutes here and there is probably going to do me better than the 30 to 45 minutes. She actually tanned twice yesterday.
You got
to
get your base burn in. That's how I start.
Right. And of course, I kept my face out of the sun just for tonight. So you're welcome, everybody.
I was going to say.
keep that face fresh.
He's actually so pale, it's like reflecting on the walls behind him right now.
This is true. These are actually painted blue.
When you aren't sun tanning, what are you doing?
Well, actually, a couple of nights ago, Sunday night, took apart my NES. Just because. Never did it before.
I've never gotten that itch.
Yeah, this is my original one. Because it wasn't working. It went to go record some videos, and it stopped working. And so I thought, you know, we'd Han Solo it, so I banged on it, and that worked for a little while. And then when I brought it home, it still wasn't working. It was doing the gray screen flash, which is typically that 72 pin connector issue. So I was like, I don't have one around to just swap in there. So
I actually have an extra one, and I don't really know why. Yeah.
Well, we don't need to talk.
Yeah.
And so I started taking it apart, and I was actually surprised that every screw except for two screws are the exact same screw. They're not like Nintendo back in the day wasn't trying to like completely screw everybody over.
I got it. Oh,
Well, they're doing it now, but yeah. You know, it was just a normal like Phillips head screw. There's about 20 of them, and they're all Phillips, so they're, you know, that's nice, and they're all pretty easily accessible. There's no like hidden covers or anything. So I took it all apart, you know, cleaned it out. It was pretty dusty, not as bad as I thought it would be. It didn't fix the problem, certainly. So I took it apart. I got to see what the inside of a Nintendo looks like. So I was pretty happy about that.
You got 80s man points right there.
Right. So it's not that exciting, to be honest. But it's pretty simple. So
it's pretty cool.
you're not going to mess with too many things if you get involved in it. And it has a capacitor almost the size of a quarter, like, in diameter. I was pretty surprised about that. Of course, you know, modern capacitors are pretty small.
Have you thought about like rebuilding it like in a custom case, or just, I don't know, making,
you know, since it's my original Nintendo.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, it's the original Nintendo that my family had. I don't want to do that, but if I were to find like a top loading one, probably, because who thought of the spring loading, front loading? It's the worst design ever. You're putting the cartridge in at an angle, and then you're putting it straight on. It's like, that's going to cause some issues over time. And so then you have to, like, pull it out a little bit. No, duh. Like, it's not going to work. So, I don't know. I've got it down here on the floor, so.
Yeah, I'm not sure Nintendo was really looking at people in 2013 and how their NESs are going to be.
Right. But it's still, I mean, it still works, sort of.
I wonder, actually, what the, I don't know, the how faulty the original NESs were back when they were first launched, especially compared to how many issues we've had with the last generation of consoles. I wonder how they compare.
This one was pretty reliable. I mean, for years. I mean, we haven't played this thing in like 10 years, so before then, never had a problem. You'd put a cartridge in there, put it down, good to go. Mm. So, I don't know. It's still, like I said, it still works. I was pretty impressed with that. But, yeah, it cleaning it certainly didn't help things, and a lot of people just refer to that connector as the solution to the problem. So it's just a matter of getting a good one of those in and out. And it seems like it's a pretty easy thing to do.
Anything else going on?
I'm getting ready to go to Texas here in a couple of weeks. So, of course, it's been a couple of years since I've driven there. I actually drove to California once and I had to drive through there. And, of course, I completely, like, oppress the fact that I have to drive through the entire state of Arkansas.
Ooh.
To get there.
How's that compared to driving through Georgia? Because that's my...
Worse.
Okay.
Three times worse. It's awful. And it's the whole trip. It's like, you leave Indiana, you go through Tennessee, barely, Arkansas, and then you get to Texas. And it's just... It's awful. Yeah. So on the way back, we're going up to Oklahoma through St. Louis, all the way back to Indiana.
So what kind of... Arkansas mental preparation do you recommend?
Drive straight through. Just
this isn't happening. This isn't
don't
happening.
Stop. Don't you just, dare stop.
Get like the blinders like horses have.
Just fuel up before you hit the state border. And if you run out of gas, just stay in the car. Just stay in the car. Just die. Just die. Don't get out of the car. It's the worst. I'm sorry if anybody's from Arkansas, but my experiences there have been awful. In my heart, I'm probably from Arkansas, but as far as I know, I've only traveled through there. So
the only thing I remember about driving through Arkansas, because my buddy and I went to Texas for a wedding one time, was going through Texarkana.
Yeah,
and the smell was like broccoli farts through a wet swimsuit. Like it was absolutely the worst thing ever. And and we made the mistake of stopping, and we won't do that again.
Yeah, our Kansas as Matt is saying, there is the worst ever.
Good to know. So, I don't think I've ever... My one trip to Texas, I think we went through... Well, we went through St. Louis and Kansas.
Yeah. And then down through Oklahoma. Yeah, that's the way we're coming back. But just to get there at a decent time, we're just going to go through Arkansas as far as I know. It might change. I could easily just turn around and go right back up to St. Louis, but not looking forward to it.
Ugh. We'll be worried about you.
I'll report in. Don't hold me out on that one.
I had an interesting week last week. Talked about it a little bit on Top Video Game Podcast, so I will spare you guys the engagement stories. But
I just want to say
what
I was really excited. I was not in the state of mind to be as excited as I was. Congratulations, dude. I don't think I officially said that to you.
You were like, wrote a poem,
but I don't know if it really had the same resonance. So,
well, thank you. Well, thank you. The two kind of little side stories of this. First, when I picked up the ring, I walked in with like a giant wad of cash. And got $9.90 in change.
That makes you feel good.
I just kind of looked at the girl. I was like, is this not ridiculous to anybody else? I'm giving like you. I shouldn't be getting change at this point. And
wait. Did you just like burn it? Like, what were you doing walking around with that much money, dude?
That's
like
It was a pretty short trip, so I was just moving money around, and that was the quickest way to make things happen.
Yeah,
so.
Just guarantee the transaction. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
They're not going to come repo your ring.
Yeah, I was not going to deal with the whole checks thing, but the fact that I got change and it took forever for her to count out 90 cents in this jewelry store That kind of made that's the moment that stands out aside from the actual ring itself.
Just
so
got like a watch band or something.
Yeah, I was like, I feel like I should tip you or something because I really don't want this, but this is kind of hilarious. Or I was like, well, maybe I just should have
for the Steam sale.
Yeah, exactly.
Or maybe I should have brought in a dime so she didn't have to count out that change. But that would have
that would have helped.
Giant stack of cash and a dime. That could have been also funny. And then, I don't know, it kind of just struck me, and I was kind of curious, Ethan, when I got home this evening. We have a really creepy-ass ice cream truck in our neighborhood. Like, it's an old, beat-up van.
Is there any other kind these days?
That was kind of my question. That was kind of my question. And then, but also, do they exist in Germany?
There's ice cream in every fucking restaurant and store in Germany. So no, there's no, I saw one time and the dude was just smoking and there was like maybe like a carton of ice cream. I think it was his. He just had like a logo, you know.
That's your new career.
Fuck it. I'm signing off, guys. I'm out.
See you later. See you
I need to get myself a mini, I need to get myself a minivan. Yeah.
But well, I mean,
I'd be good at being an ice cream man. I'm just creepy enough to make people like ask questions, but not creepy enough to like prevent them from buying the ice cream.
Exactly. Why have we like accepted this as normal as a society though? Like these trucks and the are just they've crossed a line. I don't feel like they were that creepy when we were little.
No, when we were kids, unless we just didn't know any better. But I guess we could ask our parents. But I mean, we had one visit our neighborhood every day during the summer, so
yeah, I don't remember him being this creepy, and I just no.
Now what about the Schwan's man? Do you feel like the Schwan's man's kind of an ice cream truck too, like a bigger version?
A little
of
bit, but he actually gets to go inside your house.
See, that's weird. I mean, ice cream truck is like within like it's like 100 yards away from you, but the Schwan's man's in your shit, and you trust him. Like you'll let him. Oh, it's a Schwan's guy. Don't worry about Dave. He's fine. He's a perfect fucking gentleman. Load all those waffles into my freezer, Dave. I can't get to him.
He leaves room specifically for your own body.
Yeah. What are you shuffling my freezer around for, Dave? This is weird.
I just wish the Schwan's people would lend their trucks to the actual ice cream people so they had nicer vehicles that aren't as creepy and they're staying outside. But
yeah
we don't have any good ice cream delivery options here in the States. So
yeah.
I don't know, that hit me today. We're here to talk about video games though, gentlemen. Starting with the new releases of the week. The week of July 15th is always the biggest release week of the year. And with the release of Kung Fu Rabbit on the Vita, I don't think.
That's why you bought it, right?
Yeah, this is right up there. Good God, there's nothing this week unless you're an RPG fan. Shin Megami Tensei 4, the Demon Hunter RPGs or whatever they're called, came out for the 3DS. So that was the one big name release of the week. Dynasty Warriors 8 is also out this week for consoles.
There's 8?
Yeah.
Jeez, man.
It's a thing. It's got its fan base. It works. I guess. So.
Yeah.
The movie tie-in for the RIPD game what? Zombie
Men in Black?
Zombie Men in Black. I'm sure that's a classy
Men
one.
Men in Black with Ghost.
And the only other thing I can find is Time and Eternity on the PS3. So, lots of RPG stuff this week. And, yeah. So, we won't remember this week for anything other than the Steam sale. That's pretty much what it comes down to. So,
yep.
So, it's probably good. Whatever misguided purchases you have made, they are the right purchases rather than buying something new.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that's my blanket statement. On to the games that we've been playing. Jason, why don't you start us off?
I've been just playing a lot of just random things. Of course, Steam sale has been taking up a little bit of my time. Been Mr. Frugal, trying to stay away from making some poor decisions later on. But I've been playing Cube World just like everyone else, it seems like. I mean, we could talk about that if you'd like.
Yeah, we'll get to that. Let's get everything else out of the way.
Okay. Well, I've been playing Capsize, but not on Xbox. It just came out for Xbox. The controller support for it on the PC sucks balls.
Yeah.
And they keep tweeting things like, "Oh, well, I guess we didn't really do enough stuff to support the PC, but here's your Xbox version that works perfectly fine." And it's just like, so you're not ever going to go back and fix that. So playing with the keyboard is a little bit of a chore. And so it's fun, though. I mean, it's a lot of fun. I see the replayability of it existing.
Tell me give me the baselines on.
Basically, it's a side-scrolling sort of point-and-shoot. You've got certain things you got to do. You move around with your WASD keys. You've got certain things that you can collect in terms of weaponry, and you shoot creatures. Essentially, what you're just trying to do is you're trying to go around the planet, save all of your fellow companions that are also fellow astronauts, and just lay waste to everything in your path until you get to your objective. So,
wait, it's an astronaut rescue game?
In a sense, it is.
They need to market this better, because that has some epicness to it. That
yeah, really it's a lot of fun. It can get real crazy at times, too. Mm-hmm. But it's fun. I appreciate it. I like it. The other thing, of course, I've been playing is Walking Dead 400 Days. Mm-hmm. Finished that pretty quick. Got the first 5 episodes on Green Man Gaming when they were having their big sale. I ended up getting it for like $6.50, which is pretty good. The first 5 episodes, which I watched somebody else play those on YouTube. And so I thought, well, maybe I should go back and play those, but I just let it simulate the first 5 episodes.
Okay. That was going to be my question is, does it work?
If you just download the first 5 episodes and then go to basically episode 6 in this case, which is 400 days, it just says like, "Oh, do you want to simulate, what happened in the first 5 episodes?" And I just said yes. And I can't imagine there's maybe 2 or 3 major things that happen to characters that you see, but maybe not a lot of people would pick up on it.
I was just picturing one of the writers for The Walking Dead just seeing that option. Would you like to simulate our game of the fucking year?
Right.
So you can continue to play this. But
it, of course, it's the story of 5 new characters. You play sort of each one of those characters in probably about a 10 to 15 minute vignette, essentially. Some of them better than others. And essentially, this is just leading up to the next season of The Walking Dead from Telltale Games. So it's really good. There are moments that are really gripping, just like the first 5 episodes, but it kind of leaves you with that like, okay, I want more. So I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing, because apparently they're supposed to be coming out with a new season this year.
Yeah.
But who knows? But it's it's a lot of fun. And now I just went back through to play each character differently to see how many different things are, changed.
Is it more fun to be nice or more fun to be a dick?
Well, I was nice the first way through, and I still had essentially what it comes down to at the very end. It tells you who is going to leave the camp or who's going to stay at the camp, and I kind of had a split decision between the 5
the
people.
The hot girl and the
Yeah. So I don't
know. Which one was the hot one?
I have no. I haven't played this yet. I'm just guessing.
Oh, you haven't. Yeah.
The hot girl, the angry old man. Larry? Is there a Larry?
No.
No.
Sorry, Justin.
Not so much.
I need Josh.
My heart pills. So, I hate everybody.
Ethan, did you finish this?
Yes, I did. I've got really mixed feelings about it because it's a very good...
Would you say it's a mixed bag?
No, I wouldn't. Okay, I have mixed feelings for it. A mixed bag would be a little bit different because, I mean, the thing is, as a segue to the next season, like, great. I don't know if knowing what I got from it, I would have paid $4.99 for that.
Right,
you know,
I would agree with that, yeah.
I think that they had an opportunity to maybe drop that price a bit because, The Walking Dead is, a lot of people talk about it being restrictive in terms of its gameplay. This was even more so, but I will say this, though. Again, it's a story fucking game, and I am, pumped for the next season. So... Mm-hmm. That says a lot about this. I wouldn't say I'm disappointed. I didn't know what to expect, but I'm super excited for season 2 because I like the characters. I thought it was going to be really tough for them to develop new characters and add as much emotional presence, but these new characters are going to be great. Yeah. And I think they may even be more exciting than the last batch of characters. So,
I'd agree with that. Because I wasn't sure when playing it, like how, like I honestly thought, because you know, you play each character separately and that's not really spoiling anything, but I thought at some point, like, how are you going to play just one character? Yeah. Like, how is that going to work? So, I'm curious to see what they do with the characters. So it will sort of carry on over. That's for sure. But
you know, I wouldn't put it past them that they are using this as a test to see which character people connect with most to affect season two a little bit, because you know, they were all about capturing the data during season one and just reacting to people's decisions. So,
And that's what's really fun about the game too, is at the very end, it tells you how people did things in the game. And I did it completely opposite of the general population, which I thought was hilarious.
You rebel.
Yeah.
Well, it looked like people took, I mean, there's not as many dickhead decisions as in the last game. And it looked like people took, when I played, a lot more dickhead decisions, as opposed to like in the last game, I felt like, you know, being a friendly guy was a good thing and everyone else was doing that. But no, in this one, people were kind of, and it's funny because I think season one kind of like settled in on them. Like they were like, dude, you can't be soft in The Walking Dead. Like, I feel like it's changed people and it's kind of weird. Like, people are a lot more violent and shit. So, and this is more intense, I think, amount of time, you know, I mean, I think the second, and we won't spoil anything, but the second episode was really intense. It really got you into it. But I think this one's going to start off really intense, really fast. I don't think there's going to be that blanket point, you know, where everyone's feeling decent.
I just kind of hope they don't try to top themselves just to top themselves as far as the, you know, not the scary moments, but the really just standout twisted moments. But again, that's like, that probably comes down a lot to the Walking Dead writers themselves, because they've been doing that with the show and the graphic novels as well, so I'm sure they got plenty of options there. But it's just I don't want them to. I want them to tell a good story rather than just trying to top moments from the beginning. Like, you remember when we did this in the first one? Well, how about five of those?
Well, and what's really interesting too is that they interlap all the characters' stories because they jump around time wise a little bit. So you're able to be like, oh, that's that one thing from that other character's thing. So it really ties in really well. I thought that was an interesting way of going about it, rather than just giving us like one character that you run around controlling.
Cool.
You get to see the same thing happened but different in a way. It's not like each character completely stands alone, but they have these little moments that all sort of connect them all to each other, which I think is pretty cool.
How does it actually compare, like, if you had to compare it to the rest of the episodes of The Walking Dead? I mean, is it as good as them? Is it better? Is it worse? Is it
I would say it's certainly different, which is what I ultimately, when it comes down to it, that's what I was wanting. But then again, I hadn't actually physically played 1 through 5.
Okay.
So I'm coming at it gameplay wise, like just real fresh, but story wise, I mean, I watched the crap out of someone else play it. So I was just as emotionally invested into it, you know, as they were, except for I had no control over what decisions they made. So I will
you
be going back and playing, of course, 1 through 5 and then 400 days before the next season comes out, just because I want to make sure the way I'm playing it is the way I'm going to keep on playing it.
Yeah, I never would have bet. I mean, coming off of last season, I never would have bet that they would be able to turn around season two within a year.
Yeah.
And so if they make that happen, that is, I mean, it's really smart. I think they have to keep hitting it while, you know, while it's hot, while the show's hot, and especially like in this potential generational gap, like with the new consoles, I think it's smart to get it out. So they kind of have to, but hopefully it doesn't suffer. But I don't know, the fact that they made 400 days work, and it just feels, it looks like they have their framework for setting up episodes of that set up. So it's just a matter of creating the art and story and moving on. So it certainly looks like it's going to happen. So that's pretty cool.
Yep.
So Jason, Timber and Stone. You've described this to me as your kind of bread and butter. And then as soon as I said that, he got kicked off the podcast. So let's figure out what's going on here. Hold on. Oh, never mind. That didn't happen. So Jason, Timber and Stone, you've once described to me as your bread and butter.
Yeah.
I don't really know much about the game other than, quick overview. It kind of looked like Minecraft a little bit to an outsider.
Okay, so basically, if you've seen Minecraft, okay,
mm-hmm.
and you've seen Cube World, it's in that middle.
Okay.
There's never been a game on the other side of Minecraft that I could explain. So a lot of you have seen Cube World. So essentially, Cube World, you're just running around. You're shooting things up.
Mm-hmm.
It has that voxel look to it, right? And then you've got Minecraft, which, of course, is a step above that a little bit. Of course, more modded these days. And you go around, you can build stuff, right? Cube World, you can't do that. Timber and stone, you can go around killing things, and you can also build things, which is really cool. So you get about, you start off with 8 settlers, and you can basically gather resources, keep these people alive, build settlements. You can build castles if you want. You can build towns if you want. But at the same time, you're getting goblins, skeletons, necromancers, all these crazy outside forces trying to come in and either destroy all your resources in terms of chopping down trees, killing all the animals in the land, or actually physically coming and attacking your settlers. So you have different professions. You have like carpenters, you have blacksmiths, you have loggers, you have fishermen, you have farmers. There's like at least maybe 15 different professions, and they all have a certain thing that they can do. And you can actually switch all your characters to those different professions, but that decreases their morale. And it's just a lot of fun.
I don't like my job.
Yeah, exactly. So it's just like, well, you don't like your job, then you can do this one now. Yeah. And they have different traits which affect the way you give them their jobs, because if they're really clumsy, then they'll break tools, which, of course, you've worked hard to get the resources for. You build tools. You can craft different kinds of stones in terms of, like, making field stone bricks. You can build stuff with pretty much just like you can in Minecraft. You can build with every resource that is available in the game.
So, yeah, the big difference that's standing out to me is just, like, so how big does your town get? How many people are you worried about?
As long as you have food for those people, I've seen people have hundreds of people, which is ridiculous. There's one guy in particular who builds these giant castles and has probably about, I think, 100, 120 people, but he has just like thousands and thousands of units of food, which you can get by fishing, farming, or killing animals, that kind of thing. You can also herd animals, which is pretty cool. There's a shepherd.
But can you collect fruit and sell them on a daily basis?
You can pick berries off of trees, but there's no like general store person.
Are you pulling Animal Crossing into this?
Yeah, he's trying to. I see what you're doing.
Animal Crossing out of this. I was going to say, like, I play a game called Towns. Have you heard of that?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, Justin probably has, but this kind of sounds a bit like Towns. I watched one of your gameplay videos of it. It looks like Towns is more simulation, whereas this one it looks like...
Yeah, you're way more hands-on with the decisions your people make.
Yeah.
You play every character, which is really cool.
Damn. God damn it. Making good games, people. Like, yeah. What happened and to those days when
Ethan is screwed?
And this is one guy. This one guy, his name is Robert. He has basically made this from scratch. It started off as a Kickstarter. I got involved in it. I'm a beta tester. And so basically, it's still in beta. It's not a complete game. It will probably never be. It's one of those, like, never sort of done. Like, it's just always going to evolve. Because right now, one of the issues is when the necromancer spawns, and what they do is they spawn on the edge of the map, so you never want to build anything on the edge of the map. You always want to build in the middle. And so when the necromancer comes, he summons skeletons, and he does that essentially like day one, which is not supposed to happen. The spawning mechanic is actually broken right now. So your poor 8 people, because it used to be 6, which is really, really difficult, because you can't really do a lot of things with 6 people. You have to change their professions around, and they get really tired. Fatigue is also another factor. You have to let them sleep. You can set them on sleeping schedules and stuff. But essentially what happens is that it spawns in this necromancer. He comes in and just lays fire all over everyone's campsites, and you're done. And so it's just pissing so many people off right now. And so here I am with like my YouTube LP, like, please don't like not buy this game. It's going to be fixed, I swear. But it's taking a really long time to fix it, because there's just these tiny little bugs that get fixed. And of course, people are never satisfied because they want that instant fix.
Yeah.
But right now I'm playing an old, slightly older version of it, because it gets released as just an executable file that you can just drop your old save file in, which is really nice. Oh, so I was able to basically pull back on it. So It's a really fun game. Again, if you're just wanting a taste of it, I have, I think, maybe...
He can give you a free hit, Ethan.
43-ish videos recorded of it, about 30 minutes apiece, so...
Oh, man.
If you want a taste of it, I can drown you in my videos.
Just a little taste.
That's, Oh, yeah, it sounds really good. And, man, I just...
And it's, like, it's less than $20, so...
See, that's great. And I'm like, I really... I'm struggling with – there's a lot of beta and alpha games out now, and more conventional gamers and more casual gamers are getting into it. But people, beta and alpha, there's definitions to those fucking words, man. It means the game's not complete. It means that you are part of the testing program.
Right.
And when you complain about it, it means you are completely disconnected from gamer culture, the gaming industry, and it actually is counterproductive to the developers because – You know, constructive criticism, great. Testing, great. Being a dick, not so great, you know? So just be fucking patient, bros. You're cool. You're fine.
Yeah, and the forums are a really good resource for answering questions, but a lot of times people just say the same thing over and over and over. It's just, for someone that has been a part of it pretty early on, like myself, it's just really frustrating. And I feel really bad for the moderators, but they do a really good job of being like, okay, all of the questions you've asked are in this particular thread. You'll look at that thread. So they're not dicks about it, which is completely, you know, great. I fully am 100% behind the moderators of that forum, because if Robert had to do that and also basically develop a game at the same time, I couldn't see how he'd be able to, you know, keep breathing. So it's a really fun game. Like I said, it's less than $20. It's supposed to be one of those really hard games like Dwarf Fortress, where it just like at any second your game could just be over like that, as much as you've worked on it. I've seen people go hundreds of days in it. That's very rare. Most people probably get to about at the furthest maybe day 15 before things really just start going at them.
Yeah.
But those days are, you know, a good number of hours of gameplay, and there are different kinds of, not quite Cube World-esque landscapes, which are freaking gorgeous, and not quite Minecraft either. It's a happy medium between both games. So if you really like building stuff in Minecraft, but you also want to have this sort of random RPG element to it and management system at the same time, I recommend it.
Yeah, that sounds great.
There was Ethan, do you remember a while back, maybe a year ago now, there was a Kickstarter for another voxel game that looked kind of like this, kind of like Minecraft, but you're building up castles. Was it Castle Story?
Yes. With little yellow guys?
Yeah, that's what I thought this was when he was describing it at first.
Yeah.
But then realized...
They are very similar to one another, but of course, Timber and Stone got a little bit of a lead on Castle Story. So. All right,
fair enough. Yeah, man. This space is getting so crowded. Weird.
And the thing is, these aren't like one-time off games. These aren't games you play for 10 hours. I mean, we're getting hit with Minecraft games. I moved away from Minecraft because Minecraft was dominating my life and my gameplay. You know what I mean? So, like, all these games are coming out. Fuck it, man. Divorce your wives. Justin, sorry, dude, but...
You just burn that money. Just keep letting her keep the ring.
Give me that. I'm glad I got that $9.90, too, so...
Yeah, get the Taco Bell.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about the game we've all been playing, but I want to hear Ethan's stories about Cube World, because you'd leapt out in front of us as far as the amount of time and what level you're at. But you have not played with a harmonica.
This is a story about Cube World. I played way too much Cube World.
So you got in like maybe a week after we did, and so what has happened? What are you enjoying? What are you worried about?
This is alpha. This is an alpha game. It's a husband wife team, which is impressive as hell, because I couldn't imagine making a game with my wife. You know, one, because we don't work well together, you know, and two, because I don't know how to develop video games. But anyway, you guys were talking about Cube World, and I saw it, and I was like, this looks great. This looks cool. I was having trouble getting into it, so I kind of thought maybe it was, you know, like fate saying, look, Ethan, you're doing okay with your game library right now, buddy. Like, focus on one thing. Don't worry about it. And then I got into it. I was like, oh, this is fun. I'll just jump in. And I only played for half an hour the first time I played, but it was the second playthrough that You're dealing with the progression. You're dealing with walking around this infinite landscape. I mean, it's an infinite fucking landscape. Like, there's no end to it. Oh, that's what infinite
got
means.
Got it.
You know what I mean? For nobody that doesn't. But, like, I don't know why I've played so much of it. And I'm going to say this in a very diplomatic way. I'm not saying this is a bad game. It is a game in development. It's enjoyable. There's that Warcraft-like just kind of pounding away at enemies until you level up and move on to the next level. But it's very plain. It's very bare bones at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But the potential has got me hooked. Like, I mean, this is in the very beginning of this game. This is a two-person team for the most part. I can't imagine what's going to happen after this. Like, it's just incredible. The technology, the program itself to develop these huge worlds without totally killing
these community. Infinite worlds.
These infinite worlds without an end. it's amazing. It like blows my like I was and Aubrey walked in and she was like, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "Look at this." I showed her the map and you know, she doesn't care. But she was like, "That's actually kind of cool. That's kind of a neat thing." And I mean, it is. It's really exciting, and I play by myself too. That's the thing. You guys played co-op, which is always most games better. I existed in this gigantic world by myself and just kept going at it. And I mean, I don't know. Something grabbed me. Something grabbed hold of me.
I can't say
that I had fun, but I felt like I had to keep leveling up. But the potential is, oh my god, dude, this is gonna be a huge fucking game. Like,
I just wonder how. Like, I haven't really read much on his future plans, but I just wonder how dense the world is gonna get. But I also, in my more recent time with it, actually, my solo time with it since we've played multiplayer, I really had enjoyed just kind of seeking out caves and trying to find stuff to mine, just because, I don't know, it gives you a reason to explore the landscape and just try to go into the nooks and crannies and see.
Have you found emeralds yet?
No.
Oh, I've got a butt ton of emeralds.
I've got too many. It shows exactly what I've been doing.
So I haven't lived yet because I don't have emeralds.
You don't have, you gotta, dude.
When you walk into a cave and it's glowing green, you found emeralds.
Yeah, it's a good thing.
But we did get a 4-player game going last week. I think the only frustrating part was the fact that we realized there's one spawn point in the world, or at least on the continent, I guess, or the biome. Is that that's what they're calling them. They look like continents to me on the big map. But, so when we had, Aaron and I had played the night before and gone off exploring a couple hours in one direction, and then we got Josh and Jason into the game the next night, they spawned in the middle, like, an hour away from us, and we had to just kind of fight our way back to getting to meet up with them. Luckily, though, they were hanging out near a castle, and we tried to go in and take down the ruler of that. Because it took me a number of hours before I walked into a part of the world where it gave you an objective. So that was kind of, you know, it is pretty aimless until you kind of make your own objectives that way. But if you do seek them out, there are reasons to. It's not like you're gonna have a big quest log or anything like that, but there is stuff to do. Granted, I'm too low level to pretty much accomplish any of it, but you know, I get distracted by tall mountains that I can just climb for no reason and solve the puzzle, getting to the top of them.
And I was like, you talked about that last week, and in my mind, I was making fun of you guys. I was like, oh, climbing, like, go fuck yourself. Like, that sounds stupid, but it is so fun.
Yeah.
Climbing is fun. I don't like why, but it is. It is a puzzle. It's, I mean, they just, there's, you know, like, and it's going to make me mad when people say, oh, it's like Minecraft, right? Well, no, it's not like Minecraft.
Mm-hmm.
They're thinking outside the box. It's QB, but this is going to be the game for people who said, I liked Minecraft, but I wanted to fight. I wanted to feel like my fighting was worth something. That is what this game is going to be.
Now, it does have actual, like, crafting, and you can build a house and that kind of stuff. Is that right?
Not yet on the house, I don't think. Okay, it's working towards that, but that's one of the features that maybe that's a promise in the future. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Because
the crafting mechanic it has now, you can customize your weapons. You can that's build. Cool. And you can like customize the look of them as well. You add these little cubes, and they can either add like HP to your weapon, or they can add like fire effects and that kind of stuff. And it looks different. You know, like I made myself big old claws, and I was like, that looks good. It feels good. Somebody in the chat made fun of it, but you know, that's okay.
Krugdog's pointing out a big feature that I haven't seen yet, but do either of you have a hang glider yet?
I have purchased one. I have not used it yet because I think my computer would explode the second I jump off the cliff.
Your computer is having a little bit of
because
trouble.
I would take off and then it would just be blue skies where it says, please wait. And then I would just crash into the earth because the game technically doesn't pause whenever it's rendering the land.
Yeah. I'm one like experience point or skill point away from getting the hang glider.
Okay.
Jason,
are you riding pets yet? Because I know Ethan was riding a collie.
I'm not riding them, but I have four of them.
Okay.
It's like Pokemon. You're just trying to collect them all.
Right now, yeah, I just have a battle horse named Turbo Dragon. I can't quite ride him yet.
Nice.
But,
I've got a chicken, which you would appreciate, Justin. a crow, as well as a cat and something else that I can't remember. Maybe a horse.
I have food for a monkey, but I have not seen it yet. I've yet to see a monkey.
I've never seen a monkey.
Found the monkey the other day. I actually spent... You want to hear a story.
This is an amazing moment.
And I apologize to anybody that was watching me stream. I apologize to anybody that watches me stream.
In general.
Races because it's random as hell. But I swam across the ocean. Because you can get a boat, and it's a lot faster, but I swim across the ocean for about an hour and a half, and I was like, why the hell did I do this? Because once I was 20 minutes into it, I was like, if I turn back, you're fucked. Because when you're lost in this game, like when you like commit to a direction, you go in that direction, or else you're kind of fucked. And I swam across the ocean, I was like, God, this was stupid. And then I got to an island, and it had a village in it, and the very first enemy that I saw was a monkey. I was like, oh, it's a monkey, great. And then it fucking attacked me. it was a tough monkey, but yeah.
Dude, I mean, and the squirrels and the raccoons are no joke either. They they come up and they just start boxing you, and just, it's like, dude, I wasn't picking a fight. But you said something, Ethan, when I logged on and saw that you were 10 levels ahead of me. And I'm just like, where, in this week, how did you level up so quick? And you kind of made the point that just kill everything. It doesn't matter how cute they are or how docile they are. Just kill them all. Get all the XP.
Well, and some things will be like, you know, just you'll kill one like squirrel and it gives you like one XP, and then you'll kill another one and it gives you like 12.
Yeah,
it's all very random. But have you guys ran into the crabs yet?
No.
Yeah,
those are mean SOBs, I tell you.
The crabs and anything that shoots like water magic at you, like fucks you up hardcore. Yeah. It's
all the mages rule me right now.
What are you guys playing as? What classes?
Warrior.
Yep. I think we're both berserkers.
Oh, are you?
Jason and I.
Cool. Yeah.
So I'm playing as a ninja now. Right. So came in as the assassin, the rogue. The stealth mechanic is a little bit odd. I'm not sure how to use it yet. So I switched to ninja. The ninja has a backflip where he jumps backwards and throws shurikens at his enemies, and it obliterates people. Like, I want to make a highlight reel of just me
backflipping,
killing fucking animals like that, because I killed sheep, I killed horses, I killed a llama.
Llamas are tough, man.
Yeah, they are tough. Yeah, they don't fuck around, man. Nothing on this in this world is like 100% friendly unless you go to the towns and you find the pet villages. Now, there's some docile animals, but as soon as you look at them the wrong way, and by look at them, I mean stab them, they're on quick.
Do you guys find it weird when you go into towns, when especially those like trading districts, and everyone surrounds you because they just want to talk to you? It kind of freaks me out. I feel like a celebrity in Cuba.
Welcome. What's your name?
And then they just stand there, and then you're just like, do I need to talk to all of you? But luckily, the little green things will tell you if you need to actually get something from them or not.
Yeah, those give you quests, don't they?
Yeah. Or they give you things on the map to go explore.
Yeah, because otherwise you're just discovering the named areas of the map. But,
if they could apply the biome generator to Minecraft that they use in Cube World, that would make Minecraft a whole different game. I mean, Cube World, those worlds are beautiful.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you could just stand there and just look around. Well, me, after
unlike
5 minutes,
Minecraft, which is just straight up ugly.
Oh, yeah, it's very, very ugly. Well, you know what? It's just, you kind of get used to the same sort
Cube
of
World's very things. Very striking.
And so I wonder if I keep playing Cube World, am I eventually going to get used to sort of knowing what kind of generation there's going to be? Because so far, I haven't really seen one thing that's the same as another.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I'm really, really curious to see that, you know, because like grass are, you know, different colors, and of course, you know, there are things in Minecraft that sort of let you sort of have different shades and stuff like that, but it's just I've never really seen it to the point that is where it's in Cube World, just the variety of animals that are spawning around, the variety of enemies that come around, it's pretty impressive. And like Ethan said, for a two-person team, it's pretty nice.
Yeah.
And if you can get in and you can get, you know, the alpha, because that's what this is, if you can purchase it, I say go for it, because you're going to have a lot of fun.
Yep. Yeah.
And then the multiplayer aspect, which isn't easy, it's not easy at all to set up, but if you can get involved in that, even better. I mean, I had a hell of a time playing with you guys the other night, so that's just going to make that game even more fun, because you can have a variety of different people, just, you know, like any other sort of RPG, sort of, you know, MMO kind of thing, so...
Yeah, when everybody else in Cube World has buddies to hang around with, like, I notice you need to see these troops of mages and
right. I like they do a good job with that. Though, with the, I mean, it's I think it's really smart that they they added the other groups of adventurers, and some friendly and some not friendly. I think it.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes your single player experience a little bit more enjoyable. I also, I don't know, from my up and down week last week, I kind of found playing this game single player was just really almost. It was just really calming. I just really enjoyed, like, I don't know, it wasn't totally mindless, but I didn't have to work too hard at it. I just could just explore, and it's a totally different feeling than, like, the tension of exploring in Skyrim, because you just never know what's going to jump up. Like, every time you die in Cube World, I kind of laugh at it and just revive.
Right, because you're not losing much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you lose anything other than where you are and damage to that enemy?
No, I don't think so. I don't think it takes any sort of gold or any sort of experience away from you. The only thing, like you said, you lose is the progress against the enemies that you might be fighting. Mm-hmm. But and I hope it stays that way, because I think that's a lot of fun, because you're not so overly concerned at surviving. You're just wanting to, you know, try different things and try to kill things and explore and stuff like that. So, I mean, I can see how this game might not be for everyone, but like you said, Justin, I just, whenever I play it, I'm not recording it as an EP or anything, just basically because it's my oasis from everything else that I'm playing, because I don't have to talk about it. I don't have to, I don't know if it's really good for an LP necessarily, but when you're playing with other people, it's great for streaming. Or if you're just playing by yourself, other people can get involved, obviously, in the
Twitch. Go over there. So, see if you can climb that.
Yeah, exactly. But it's just one of those things where whenever I'm playing it, like, I'll say, okay, I've got until 11 o'clock to play it tonight. And then I'll look at the clock and I'll be like, oh, it's midnight. But then I'm not like, oh, I can't believe I spent an hour in that. That was a waste of time. It wasn't, because it's just allowing my brain to process certain things. Because
I had to go west for an hour.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, it is what it is, but yeah, backtracking is particularly fun for me because my computer's not that great at the moment. So I turn around and I'm like, all right, we're doing this. And I just hit the button down and then it just says, please wait. But stuff is still attacking me. And I'm just like, I've gotten really good at, I'm like the Stevie Wonder of Cube World. I can fight blind and do really good things with it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Stevie Wonder fights people all the time.
I still think, though... One feature that the game still does not have music, so if you are playing multiplayer, have someone play some music, JP.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, I've realized that if I stream that game again, which I think I'm going to take a break away from it, because right now I think I haven't seen all the biomes, but I've seen mechanically as much as I want to know that this is a game I'm going to invest time in, but it's lonely as hell when you don't have music and you don't have people to play with, and I'm kind of like, I want to be... You know, and not that I was sad playing the game, but I was kind of like, oh, man, like, I need something else.
We can cut some highlights from our stream where you're playing the harmonica and maybe submit some potential soundtrack options to them.
You know, I'll be happy to do whatever I can to help the game out.
Ethan, when you aren't Cube Worlding, what are you doing?
So last week I had a really huge victory in FTL, and if anybody visited the site today, which you should, I did a Brotabulous Moments in Gaming.
Dude, Brotabulous came back.
Came back hard. You weren't expecting that, were you?
So Ethan says, I have this video that's done, and it was just titled Mystery Video. And then it starts with his FTL intro, but then slowly but surely... The theme music for Brotabulous Moments in Gaming builds, and all of a sudden we're in the intro, and I was super pumped up.
It was such a good, like, that whole moment was really good, and I had to do something with it. And the whole being able to download MP4s from YouTube is awesome. That's really handy. I'm glad we know how to do that now, and we'll do that more often. But The thing is, I was. If you talk to my wife, she calls it the spaceship game, and the spaceship game is a bad game. Why the spaceship game is a bad game is because when Ethan plays a spaceship game, he loses touch with reality. I got in a really weird lull last week after that victory because I got really concerned about space in general. I feel like NASA is underfunded. I feel like we would not be prepared if an asteroid struck us. And the only thing that made me feel better was to play FTL and actually feel like, you know, I was doing something. So I decided that, you know, I was going to try to parlay that into actually, like, you know, constructive gaming. And I've been trying to get all the different spaceships in FTL that you can get. And all of them, there's different, you know,
now you're just collecting.
Means of getting to them. Yeah, I'm collecting. I'm collecting spaceships now. I want to be prepared for this, you know, asteroid-themed apocalypse. And I can jump in my... I'm not going to name all the ships because that'll be really dorky. But not that my obsession with it wasn't dorky enough, but I've been playing the absolute shit out of that game. And I have struggled to get them all. The toughest one to get is a crystal starship, and I had every factor that I needed to get that, and then I fucking lost it in the end, so I was pissed about that. But I backed away from that game too. Like on, I think Thursday, my wife came in. I was still playing the game. She was like when she left, I was playing the game, and when she came back, I was playing the game. I was like, no, wait a minute. Like there was time in between. Like I did things in between. I made a sandwich in between, and I got a milkshake and an ice cream cone. So like I wrote productive things.
And I wrote an email to Justin saying I can't do an article today.
Because I was playing FTL. I usually do Cheap and Dirty Gamer on Thursday, and I had a news that I had just sitting up there, and I was like, dude, I'm not in a place to do a Cheap and Dirty Gamer. So I was like, I'll just use that news I had there. But it was weird, man. That game has a really weird but awesome way of just grabbing hold of my ding dong and just holding on until it's done with it. You know what I mean? That's probably not the best way to explain that. But
and you paid for it, so.
Yeah. And I pay more too, so
it's a clean transaction.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, no, I've been again. FTL is again taking a break from it, like I did, because I'm at a point now where I'm getting a little bit like I got jealous because I saw a guy on Reddit who'd beaten the game with every single ship on normal. Like I felt like that normal victory was huge, but that's nothing. No one gives a shit about that. So my day in the sun kind of ended. But we're
still proud of you, though. Just so you know.
Well, thank you. I'm glad. I'm glad you did.
The moral victory, at least.
Yeah, it felt good. It felt real good that day, and I feel like it made a good video afterwards. But yeah. So Fez, everyone was excited about that last year. I think like everybody was kind of excited. I guess. And I thought, you know, it's on sale. Let's check it out.
Except for me.
Yeah, I was gonna say not my game.
Yeah.
Yeah, it didn't.
It's
yeah.
It's
yeah.
It's plucky. It's whimsical.
It is whimsical.
Art style's fine. Not my game. I don't want to invest the time and effort that people have invested. I'm
never
proud of people for doing that, but yeah, not
from time to
give it a try. I talked shit about it last year. I know I did. There's podcasts you can go back. I talk shit about it, and that shit still stays talked because I just not my game, man. Not my thing, and that's fine, dude. Great job. It's amazing mechanically in terms of just the things about it, but I played it for about half an hour. Like, oh, okay, this was enough for me.
I mean, there are times when I get excited enough to send you a link to a game that I know you'll like or at least appreciate in some fashion, but never in a million years would I have advised you to play Fez. It just it doesn't
I
have
like
any
puzzle
Ethan
games.
Hooks.
Like, I like puzzle games, but to me, it just, I don't know. I didn't feel like I was solving puzzles. I felt like I was looking for cubes and I was moving and I just, the whole change in reality was cool, but I didn't love it. Like it was, I don't know. It wasn't my thing and that's fine. Phil Fish is a great guy. I'm successful with it.
He's really successful.
Man. Can't say that with a straight face.
No, you can't.
No, you almost, you said great with conviction. It was the guy part that you seemed to be confused about.
Yeah, it's a great ass. I get it. He's a tortured genius. He put a million hours into a game, and
he did it to himself, though.
Yeah, he
did it to himself.
You could tell, like you can tell the insanity slowly leaving this guy, and like his, you know, like, you know, and if I saw him in real life, I would probably say, hey, I didn't mean all that stuff I said. But then I would turn like to the camera, assuming that I'm on camera, and I'd say, I'm just kidding, I do. I don't know, it's not my game, but I'm glad people liked it. That's fucking fine, dude. Love it.
He tweeted like this graph for like, you know, like pre-release, like, and then like release. slightly bigger, and then like steam sail. And I'm just like, people seriously waited until this game got cheaper. There's a reason for that, I think.
Yeah. That's why I did
it. Okay, well, you know, it came out at $10. Like, when that showed up on Xbox Live Arcade for $10, that shocked me. I was like, I thought that had $15 Xbox Live Arcade game written all over it. And so I think it's, that was a, $10 was kind of a steal for that game. Yeah. But yeah, there was definitely a crowd that wasn't going to spend the $10 on Steam because it's been out so long. But yeah, they'll try out Fez for $5. We'll see what all the fuss is about. And I think Jordan in chat kind of described it well as it's incredible. Maybe it isn't fun. Because I have tremendous respect for that game, but I didn't even, like, I kind of got to the halfway point with that game and before I put it down because I was like, okay, now I'm going to have to break my brain to solve this, or I'm going to have to start looking up answers. And I was like, you know what? I respect this game. I had fun just exploring. But yeah, I don't, that really isn't much of an Ethan Moses game.
And did you see the article where he talked about that he's not going to let Microsoft take the game, like the sequel, if he makes one?
Yeah. He teased the trailer for Fez 2 at E3 and said, they said, what platforms are you going to? And he says, not Xbox.
Yeah. Like, apparently he got pretty, like, bent, or at least he feels he did via, you know, Microsoft.
At least he's putting out his patch if he hasn't already. Like, they'd finally, like, he wouldn't patch the game because it costs him $10,000 to patch the game. They finally dropped the fees, so he's going to finally
patch it. He's got all that money.
Yeah. He should be doing okay. He can't be the tortured, poor video game developer anymore. And that's going to be tough for him because he played that really well in Indie Game the Movie. And I know they didn't characterize him as well. I mean, they over-dramatized him, but still, he just didn't do – he could have gone from Indie Game the Movie because he said after that, they made me not look great. But then he went after that and said a bunch of dumb shit. You know what I mean? I'm like, dude, Phil, I get it. You're, you know, awesome, but come on. Stop talking. I say that about myself all the time, but
I'm going to fish yet. I'll cut that snippet for him, your advice for him, and just send it to him.
Yeah, absolutely.
Come on,
man.
I mean, come on.
The dickhead game developer doesn't fly with me. I get it. You know, that's you can't make a good game and then be a dick. I'm sorry. We're learning that, aren't we?
I just started picturing the Simpsons episode with the Thompson. The dickhead developers. Okay. What else have you been playing, Ethan?
So I also played another game that I actually liked better than Fez, and it had even less gameplay, Proteus. I don't know if anybody has heard about that. It's an art music game, and it is the perfect game for anyone. It is the perfect game for anybody who likes to smoke the pot cigarette. My wife came in she keeps walking in when I play these games, and she has all these mixed feelings about exactly what I'm doing. She'd almost rather me be pulling someone's spine out than playing some of the games I've been playing as of late.
Well, they have a game for that.
Oh man, it's but like in Proteus, you're walking, and as you explore the environment, like the music is changing, and so you know there's animals coming around you. They make little chiming noises and whatnot. You're just like just walking around and just chilling out, and the music really pretty and whatever. And I did the exact same thing I did in Cube World. I started swimming across the ocean. I guess maybe I'm trying to get back home. Maybe that's kind of my thing, you know, what we're seeing here. But I really dug it. Again, I got it cheap. It was on sale. It's not a game that I would say, hey, go and buy it, unless you just like your brain is just killing you and you're like, dude, I need to cut off like all thought. And with that, you know, and again, I don't love art house type games. That's what this is. But this was cool. It was kind of a fun experience. There's not a whole lot about it, you know, with it. I mean, I don't really know if there was a goal to the game.
What made you try it?
When?
I said, what made you try it? Like, what? I want to go back last week and talk to Ethan, the Ethan Moses that is like, dude, balancing. I want to play some Fez. I want to play some Proteus. I'm like, where the fuck is Ethan?
I was high on nothing last week, but I was still high, and like I just wanted to be like part of the planet.
You just wanted to be high,
Mother, like Gaia, come and release me. Like it was a weird moment for me. I don't know what made me play it. People had talked about it. I saw an article on, I believe Rock Paper Shotgun about it. I was like, oh, let's check it out. It was cheap, and it was cool. It was interesting. I mean, again, this is one of those games that could be put up there in terms of art. I mean, they were going for that. It's not a game, but, you gotta kind of dip your feet in those. I mean, you can't, you know, kung fu people naked all day long, in Sleeping Dogs and then, you know, act like that's the premier, you know, artistic game. You have to kind of, you know, explore some other options too. So, take it for a spin. Why not?
I've seen you play Sleeping Dogs. You've definitely made some.
I've made it artistic, haven't I? Yeah. It's my master. Yeah, absolutely.
Your masterpiece.
Mm-hmm. And I completely forgot about Proteus. I actually thought you mistyped it, and we're going to talk about Reyes again.
No. But that's another. There's another good example of one of those type artsy type games. So, and then tonight I streamed Dungeons and Dreadmore. After FTL, I beat FTL on normal. Dungeons and Dreadmore is a game I'm going to be doing. I'm still using the beefy challenge rules where it's on the highest difficulty, and all random skills, and
I saw
actually doing pretty well with Coop. I name my characters from anyone who's watching in chat. I name my video game characters after them. And actually, Justin and Verdian were very successful in my FTL, so I'm going to try this again. Verdian was not so successful in Dungeons and Dreadmore.
I was really surprised in your Brotabulous Photoshop for FTL that you didn't put my head on the woman. I kind of expected that.
No, that's you know, come on. Okay. You know me better than
that. I was Spock. Well, maybe you don't. But that's fine. Maybe
you. Yeah, I made you Spock. Yeah, I almost made you
so
Scotty. I don't know.
Does Dreadmore have an end?
Yeah. You know, it's funny how similar those two games are built, like, mechanically, like, kind of how you go about playing the game, like, essentially, in FTL and in Dungeons & Dreadmore, you want to spend as much time as you can on a level before you move on to ensure that you've got as much, you know, resources and as best weapons as you possibly can, and also to make sure your ship and or your human is leveled up. I don't remember how many levels it is, but at the end you fight the Dreadmore himself, or the King Dreadmore, whatever. It's like a skeleton looking fucking guy. I haven't even gotten close to that, dude. The best run I had was actually on the stream. It's actually one of the highlights we have on our YouTube channel, where I'm doing really good and I walk right into a monster zoo. And for people that don't know what a monster zoo is, it is a zoo full of monsters. It's actually pretty fucking self-explanatory, and they killed my ass so fucking hard. It was awful. It was great. So I love that game. That's a good game. That's a really, really good game. I played for 3 hours today. Holy shit.
You also reminded me how good the music was in that game. Like, it's
unbelievable.
It has a good tone the entire time.
Yeah.
I
mean, it should be, like, the most understated part about roguelikes, but, like, consistently across the board, all the recent ones have great music. So that's kind of weird. Kind of a light week for me, gaming-wise, but let's see what we got here, because a bulk of my time was just Cube World. The arcade challenge this week. I thought we went retro with Galaxian last week, but this week we're playing Berserk. Do either of you know that game?
Oh, yeah.
Ooh. Okay. All right. So, like, what would this be? It could almost describe it as a prequel or an early version of Robotron.
Yeah.
But it's... The best part about this game is the sound effects, because... Mm-hmm. You know, this game was made in 1980, and you essentially just have a randomly generated kind of map with a couple exits, and robots spawn, and as you get a higher score by shooting the robots become, they move faster and shoot back at you more. Entire time they have this stupid little robot voice that says, you know, catch the humanoid, and it just repeats and just... Because when we do these arcade challenges in the office, the machine is, you know, on the entire day, so you just hear these random sound effects, and it's some of my favorite sound effects, because it just sounds like a retro arcade. It is so perfect for that.
Am I insane, or is this that commercial you linked to a while ago?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Okay.
That
commercial's hilarious.
I have a lot of conversations about this game. I played a lot on my Atari, but it's really difficult. Your character moves really, really slowly, but it's kind of fun because the robots will shoot each other, and if you or the robots touch the wall or touch one of the robots, they die. Mm-hmm. So, like, things can just get out of hand really, really quickly. And then if you try to take your time, this smiling bouncing ball appears, and he just bounces across the entire map until he kills you. So it has that effect of you just got to kind of sprint through each level And then, again, we're playing it for score, and it's totally different, really, just really retro feeling, and I'm digging it. We're playing some modern games there for a little bit, but I'm glad we're reaching back into the back catalog, so. So yeah, go play Berserk on... I don't know where you're gonna go play it.
back in the future, back in the past.
I'll get your Atari 2600.
The other game we've been playing in the office and actually live streamed it last week. Nilmar, one of our regulars in chat, finally got to play a game with Justin Gifford and I. We played some Worms 2 Armageddon. Since then, I've played. Yeah. Worms Armageddon on PC, and I think we played Worms Reloaded on PC also this week. So I've kind of got the gamut of Worms games. I used to be really, really good at this game. Played it a ton, especially my towards the end of high school, first couple of years of college. But your worm skills will diminish over time, and especially when you're playing for the first time and forget what the controls are.
You forgot that. Your worms aren't supposed to jump in the water, right?
No, they're not. Especially, I confused the fire key, the fire button with the jump button too many times to count, and then just getting the whole trajectory and the power behind all of your shots, figuring out all the physics again, and getting that to feel right it just takes practice. That's the only way you can get good at worms, and then. When you are good at worms, random shit happens and stuff always goes wrong and you get screwed over by the placement of your worms and the weapons that your opponent gets, and it still plays well. Like, especially, I don't think I can play it much one-on-one anymore, but if I've got three or four people to play with, it's still a blast. Mm-hmm. And it was also kind of cool to go back to one of the really old versions because... I mean, they release a Worms game, it seems like, every 2 years.
Yeah.
And it's just been a very iterative game, and you don't notice the gradual improvements to the physics and to the artwork until you go back and you play the one that's 13 years old versus the one that came out 2 years ago. I still think I kind of actually prefer the old one, but that's because that was the one I grew up playing. But track down some Worms if you haven't played in a while. It still holds up. Don't play the 3D ones, though. Those are dumb.
Or even better, go back and play Scorched Earth like we talked about.
Yeah. Oh, shit. Yeah.
I don't think I've ever played that. Is that the tank game we were talking
tank
about?
Tank game.
Yeah, the tanks and the mountains.
Okay, yeah, yeah. I think I probably called that tank game.
Oh, man, I can't remember what it is. Actually, somebody did kind of a remake. It's on Armor Games right now.
Yeah.
Of that. It's pretty cool. They did a pretty good job on it, so.
We should dig up, see what the closest playable version of that actually is.
And I mean, if you were playing Minesweeper earlier, Ethan, you could play it.
Ethan now has opened the door to stream anything. He's going to be streaming tic-tac-toe. He's going to use his webcam and just draw it out.
I almost started streaming me perusing Facebook, so I'm glad I didn't end up doing that. But yeah, Minesweeper is tough. Shit. That's real tough.
Well, we'll save that for next week. Mm-hmm. So I started out the week playing Mega Man Unlimited, which is the fan made next 2D retro Mega Man game. It beat the shit out of me on Sunday. It just
as Mega Man does, yeah.
It as Mega Man should do.
Mm-hmm.
But then I was reading up after it and. You know, I didn't want to blame the controller because Mega Man games are just hard, so I didn't really think anything of it. But there were a couple moments where I felt like, you know, the control was sticking a little bit. Like, Mega Man would continue to run a little bit after I let up of the D-pad, or I had a lot of trouble jumping onto ladders because you have to hit up when you are in line with the ladder, and the timing just seemed off. Something wasn't right. But I read up that the gamepad mapping is a little bit off if you use the in-game editor. So I downloaded XPadder and remapped all my buttons, and it played... The controls were just tight as hell.
Nice.
The result being, I got a little farther in some levels, but I still haven't seen a boss yet. 2 hours in this game, I have not made it to one of the Robot Masters.
Video or it isn't proof.
Accented by the fact that when I was playing Nailman stage.
Nailman? He showed up.
Nailman. I got to a point in the level where it had the gate. And so I walked through the gate, and it didn't do the, you know, the long, skinny hallway before you go through the other gate to get to the boss. You went through the gate, and Nailman's there. And I get super excited.
Just because
I get super excited.
Welcome.
And I start shooting him, and I'm struggling, but he blows up. And it seems like it was kind of weird, too, because his energy was never on screen, and I didn't know how I was doing, and I didn't seem like I killed him too much. But then, so he died, and I kind of sat there, and nothing happened. And so I walked through the gate to the right, and there was just, like, this, the end of the level. It just was, like, a sun in the background, and then this, you know, the end of the platform. And I'm just kind of, like, sitting there, like, are they doing something weird with the end of these levels, or what? And so then I was like, I had nothing else to do, so I jump off the platform, and then the rest of the level starts up, because that wasn't actually Nailman, that was just the little mini boss, and died. So
would you say you got screwed?
Screwed by Nailman? Well, I'll accept that answer. That's that I really like that game, and I think this year I want to try to beat a Mega Man game that isn't Mega Man 2, at least out of all those classic ones. So we'll see. I mean, a lot of them are on the Wii U console, and there's 9 and 10 out there and Unlimited. I'm going to stick with Unlimited for now just because I just really adore the project. I love that how well the game came out. I think the level design is fucking genius. It just, you can just see the care and effort that they went into to put this all together.
Yeah, the music's great.
Yeah, every little, I mean, Capcom should help these guys out, do something with this, because, I mean, hell, the regular Mega Man team has moved on anyway, so, but this game's also just hard as hell. There are two levels. Rainbow Man is just a fucking bastard, man.
Rainbow Man?
I think you should just say each...
And see how he reacts. See if I can do them. How many I can do from memory? So Rainbow Man, Comet Woman. That doesn't get a reaction. Nail Man, Tank Man, Glue Man.
Glue Man.
His stage is a bitch. Jet Man. His head is literally an airplane, dude. It is...
That's so dumb.
Were any of the Mega Man bosses named seriously?
Was there like a rock?
There's Tri Nitro Man.
What the hell is a Tri Nitro?
Well, there was already a Nitro Man, so they had to change that at the last minute.
Triple
three
down.
Times the Nitro?
And the dude in the bottom right. Who was the dude in the bottom? Yo-Yo Man.
Yo-Yo Man, yeah.
Oh, I kind of like that. he sounds unconventional. I like his shit.
Not Yo-Yo Ma. Yo-Yo Man.
And so I did the best on Nail Man, Yo-Yo Man, and Glue Man stages. So, I'll stream that from time to time. I don't know if the chat audience is enjoying the game as much as I am, but I don't mind... playing these games just repetitively until I break them. So we'll see if I stick with it. So beyond that, I don't know if it's really a game, but kind of got into the Steam trading cards in the last couple days, and got Coop and I were selling our trading cards today.
Wait, what? So, you can sell them for what?
So yeah, so you collect trading cards on Steam now. The regular ones, like, some of them will drop in-game, and some of them you'll have to acquire from friends or through the marketplace. I had a bunch of duplicates from the Steam sale and went onto the marketplace, and it just... You go into your inventory, you look at the card, and it has a button that says sell, and it brings up basically a graph of how much this has been selling for the past week or month, and kind of advises you what to price it at, and you set how much money you want to make off of it or how much you want to charge for it, because Steam takes a little bit of a cut. And as of now, the Steam trading cards are selling for about 20 cents a pop.
Woo!
So I've got like 65 cents in my Steam wallet right now.
Oh man, what are you gonna do with it?
Probably buy some cards with it.
Can you buy some cards with it?
Or wait till a $5 game comes along and it seems like I'm getting a deal by getting a dollar off.
I gotta say, as silly as I thought it was at first, Steam knows how to keep people buying games and playing games they wouldn't usually buy, because I saw a number of games, achievements are one thing, but I saw a number of games that I haven't played for a really long time. I was like, oh, trading cards, that's really good. I'm like, no, Ethan, no, it's, you don't do that. You don't do those things. You don't really care about achievements, even though you kind of do. Damn, dude, they're sinking their claws, man. It's awesome, but yeah, weird.
Their community features are definitely getting built up. It's kind of crazy. Oh, yeah. But yeah, it was, I was 9 out of 10, I had 9 out of the 10 summer sale cards, and I had to find out that I had to get that other one. So I started, realized today was, well, yesterday was the day I started talking to people to be like, do you have the BioShock Infinite card? Because that's the only one I need. I can give you my Tomb Raider cards. And it was just like, what fucking year is this?
Can you download them and put them on the spokes of your bicycle?
I want the 3D ones too.
I mean, the only sad thing is, like, in the future, when you die and you have to leave things to your kids, you're not going to be able to leave, like, a big cardboard box full of Steam cards to them. You know? Oh, shit, this is worth a lot of money, you know?
I want to see how, what these cards are, what their rank is in Beckett's. Like, how, which one's the most... How my Football like Manager 2013 card compares to the Honus Wagner card.
Did you buy Football Manager solely for that card?
No. So when you spend, it gives you to them randomly.
Oh,
the Steam sale, like every $10 you spend, gives you a random card.
But
out of these 10.
But you get, it's the cards you can get through the Steam sale. But there's also the ones you get in the game, which I was kind of confused on at first. But
seem to be somewhat tied to achievements. But like, so there are 10 Borderlands 2 cards, and only like 4 of them will drop in game for you. So it'll be 4 random ones, and then your friends, 4 random ones will drop for them, and so you kind of mix and match from there.
Hmm. All right.
That's the theory. Or you go on the marketplace and you drop some real dollars to get it.
And then, of course, it gives you badges that you can put on your profile that no one really ever looks at. And
But I'm going to have more badges than you, so fuck off.
Yeah, that's what's going to come down to.
I've got cards if you want them.
All right, moving on to the stuff we're working on. Let's start with Jason, kind of give everybody a little bit of background. Jason's obviously been hanging out in our chat for a while, been supporting our shows for a little while here, but he has his own YouTube channel, and we've been talking a little bit offline and wanted to get him involved in the podcast and potentially doing some videos for Horrible Night, but he's got a couple side projects going on. Anything you want to talk about?
Well, talked about earlier, sort of taking apart the NES. The reason for that is because recording a podcast with my friend Andy, who's also a YouTuber, called The Evolution of Gaming, which is basically what we do is we go back and we try to play old games on the actual original hardware. So together we have basically accumulated pretty much every major gaming system, and we basically go through and start playing it. If we've got a save game, we try to show you a little bit of variety in the game. We tell you sort of the history of the game, when it was developed, some interesting stories what happened when we were playing it, some memories kind of thing. And so we record those in batches because it's just a little bit easier to get together and do that. And so Sunday we recorded 8, which basically covers the gamut of an entire month. And so, you know, just the variety of games. We ended up playing this random game called Hoops on the NES, which at first I thought it was going to be like a Michael versus Bird, like Jordan versus Bird sort of ripoff, but it wasn't. It was surprisingly a different kind of game, and it actually had women basketball players in it.
That's not allowed?
I know, and it was very progressive for the time, I thought. And then,
how were their fundamentals?
Not on my watch.
It was.
Sorry, that's my favorite Futurama joke.
The women were actually more aggressive than the guys were when it came to like fouling and pushing people out of the way. But of course it's an old ass game, so the mechanics of it are just so poor, and it was just hilarious. And Andy's actually in chat, he's Mangler 103, and so that's been a lot of fun, you know, just doing that, sort of talking about, because it's interesting, like he and I didn't grow up together. We sort of met each other a number of years ago, less less than 10 years ago, but you know, we love playing games. And so it's just funny to see these like weird stories from like his childhood and my childhood. And of course we work our way up, and we're actually talking about the fact that once these new consoles come out, like the 360 and the PS3 will be a part of that evolution of gaming. So we'll actually, you know, start incorporating a little bit of those sort of newish titles that came to the 360 when it first came out. So I've got, basically what it comes down to is I've got, you know, a Dreamcast, I've got an Xbox, I've got the NES, and I think I had some other thing, but he's got a Genesis. We borrowed a Super Nintendo. So it's like we're actually hooking these things up. And what was really funny about the NES is when I hooked it up and I turned it on, it didn't make any noise and it freaked me out.
Why is the cartridge not spinning up?
I know. I was like, this thing should be making noise. And I thought it wasn't going to work. I mean, of course, it wasn't working that great. But when it was working, I was like, this is really weird to sort of see that evolution of, you know, when CDs got, you know, introduced and stuff like that. We played Turok this past week, so all these things are going to be he publishes nice videos on Tuesdays. I publish them on Fridays, so that's been a lot of fun. I of course do Timber and Stone on my YouTube channel. That's something that I would love to be able to stream at some point, so that way if anybody had questions, I could sort of demonstrate things right then and there. I really haven't got into streaming, but I'd be happy to. And then on top of that, basically just been playing Minecraft like I normally do. And I would love to see other people maybe like on a server or something.
We had a server about a month ago. I'll have to see what the status of that is, because we immediately got distracted by other games like Cube World. But
more cubes.
But yeah, we've talked about especially some of the other multiplayer games that we play on a regular basis, posting that info for people to join in. But definitely Minecraft. Yeah. Portland server makes a lot of sense.
And the reason for that is because they just released 1.6.2, which basically changes the mechanics of zombies. So basically when you hit a zombie, it attracts other zombies, and then that attracts even more zombies. So when you're playing with a
group, I don't want to play that version.
Yeah, it gets pretty terrifying at times, but it's a lot of fun. And they're different, you know, it changes the way you play Minecraft. It changes the way you do stuff at night. It changes sort of, you know, your sleep patterns and sort of how you build, you know, your buildings and stuff. And I think it's a lot of fun. So
cool.
They've done some pretty interesting things, I think, with Minecraft to sort of keep it moving forward in a progressive manner that pulls new people in, but also gives that variety. And right, Ghost basically is 100% right there. Skeletons do not miss when they shoot at you, which I don't think there's a single person that has not been like super pissed and frustrated from a skeleton shooting them when they least expect it. So
especially.
I mean, it gives variety to the game. And you know, I've just been trying to sort of accumulate more games during the Steam sale to sort of get myself a library of games that I can either play with you guys on multiplayer or just sort of play off, you know, air to record and sort of give a little bit of impression. So I'm trying to expand my horizons because I tend to sort of stick with games for a really long time and just play the crap out of them until they get updated.
Well, we'll put some peer pressure on you by making you talk about games every other week on this show. So we're happy to help you out there. Yeah. But you can look forward to seeing we'll definitely be posting on our Facebook page and Twitter when they have new episodes of Evolution of Gaming.
Yeah.
And then keep an eye on Jason's YouTube channel for his Let's Play videos, and then do not be surprised when he has his own Reflux Reviews and Game Curious videos on the Horrible Night channel as well. And then we'll probably get him live streaming as soon as we get all that sorted out. But we're happy to have you on board, man. Thanks for jumping in.
It's always a good time.
Ethan, what are you working on?
Nothing.
All right.
No. Videos came back in a big way this past week. Trying to really get into Desura and really kind of explore those games, because those are games I mentioned before that you'll see on Steam Greenlight, but a lot of them have actually already been released.
Yeah.
And there's some pretty decent games. I've got a Survivor Squad Reflex Review that'll be coming out on probably Friday or tomorrow. No, tomorrow. Maybe tomorrow. We'll see. I don't know. I forget what we talked about. but I'm trying to do more of those because Justin has been pumping out a shit ton of those, and I feel like I have the time to do so, and I just haven't been doing it as well. Brotabulous Moments in Gaming, brought that back today. I'm excited about that. I've been Really excited about those. I've actually taken it back to what it was originally about, which was just moments in gaming where you got really pumped up, and it was just a group of, you know, fictional characters coming together and you know, overcoming some sort of obstacle, FTL being, you know, an example of that. So really doing that. I've got some interviews lined up that you'll be seeing more about those coming up soon. But been all over Kickstarter, so people on Kickstarter, just be prepared, because I'm emailing every one of you every time I see a game that I like, and I've already got a few set up, so those will probably be written.
Do you want to talk about the next one? Talk about that game discovery you made this week?
So yeah, I definitely want to. Forsaken Fortress is essentially, I wrote about it on Monday, I believe, and I found it on Kickstarter. It got kickstarted. It got fully funded back in December. It was like, you know, $120,000, well over what they were looking for. And it's a post-apocalyptic simulation game where you're both building your base and defending your base, but also going out and scavenging. And just it, like, I was pissed. Where was I at? And so I immediately, you know, emailed them and was like, hey, let's chit chat. So we may be talking with them probably in a written interview. But I mean, I'm the concept of the game. Every time I think I want to make a game, this is the kind of game I would want to make. You know, and I love towns. That's a big part of my gaming. But I love the post-apocalyptic, you know, aspect of building up a town and surviving that kind of stuff. And I think that, you know, I haven't seen a lot of simulation games in reference to that. And this game looks fucking amazing. Like, if it can come through on 50% of its promises, it's going to be great. Like, it's going to be an awesome game. And again, I don't know how I missed it. Like, I really don't know how I missed it. I'm going to ask them how I missed it, because I should have. But you need to get on, like, anyone that's on a Kickstarter, you don't have to fund, no one's asking you to fund every game you see, but I mean, check it out, because there's some amazing projects coming out right now.
Yeah.
And, I mean, again, I say, like, I hate it because, like, there's too many damn games coming out, but I mean, it's really exciting to see the type of game that you fantasize about playing actually coming out, coming to fruition, and you not having anything to do with it. So, this game is definitely one of them. Look up Forsaken Fortress. You'll be pleasantly surprised. I was like, holy shit, I can't.
Yeah.
And the concept art's amazing. Like, oh my gosh, there's the picture I have on my news article. I was like, oh, that is so freaking awesome. And it has, I believe it has zombies in it, but it is not a zombie game. So just cool your jets, bros. There's all kinds of different mutants in there. So, and just, we're trying to get out there. We're trying to figure out Gamescom. Gamescom is coming up in August. Trying to get out to that. That's my big, big goal. So whether that's as an official press person or an unofficial press person, it doesn't matter. I want to get out to that, because that's a huge, huge European game conference. And I didn't even know about it until 2 years ago, you know. So and it's comparable to E3 in terms of Europe. So I'd love to check that out. I don't know if anybody will understand what I'm saying, but I'd love to check it out either way. So
yeah.
Look for more information about that as well.
Yeah, when you go out there, make sure you pay attention to how many ties people are wearing.
see if that trend continues overseas.
Yeah, I was going to say, they'll all have they'll have multiple ties and scarves on. That's a big...
If you this first one you thing. See, just run up and yank it off the dude's neck and see where your day goes from there.
I'll be out quick. Yeah, yeah. So
Horrible Night does not support assault.
Yeah. Yet.
A lot of my work's... I've been doing more video stuff. Ever since I did the Awesome Knots video, I've been just trying to find different ways to do different types of highlight reels for us. I keep experimenting with our daily highlights, but those are still pretty short. And then when my Mega Man Game Curious went a little bit sideways because the controls bailed on me, I've now since played that game twice, and I'm probably going to be working on some sort of compilation of all my deaths in that game, just because, man, I mean, you could literally feel pieces of me dying every time that I thought I was making progress and then would forget how to jump or just all kinds of stuff. I think my next streaming playthrough that I'd like to do is actually I want to play through the story mode of Mortal Kombat. just because that was a game that I reviewed a couple years ago when it came out, and that story mode had a big impact on my outlook of fighting games. And so I'm going to probably give that a shot, probably starting after the show, and see how that goes. Still got my Skyrim stream going, but that'll be just kind of once a week, random, good, just kind of chilling out, exploring Skyrim. We'll see how far that actually gets, because that won't technically ever end. So,
how have you been treating Lydia?
I have not. Yeah, I haven't played in the last week. So, Cube World ate up my Skyrim time.
She's just waiting for the abuse to come back.
She's still grounded. Yeah. But I do enjoy going back to watch the video of her getting caught in that door trap about 3 or 4 times. So, poor Lydia.
It's tough to watch. I mean, she kind of brings on herself, though. But
on the podcast front, we've kind of gotten in a groove. Night Force is obviously on its way. Look for appearances by JPT and Aaron on a regular basis. We'll try to keep it a 3-man show when we can. We're top video game podcast of the week is going weekly at this point. We've got a good rotation going there as well. But you will see a return of some random Cursed Checkpoint episodes in the near future. Namely, our Animal Crossing episode is forthcoming. And then there will be a Vita Bros episode to get caught up on all of our Vita purchases this year. So, Ethan, if you would like to balance that out with other topics that might be more interesting to more than 2 people, those being the 2 people on the podcast, feel free to throw out.
Would it be more appropriate to call that a Vita support group?
Yeah. No, we're positive. It's Vita Bros.
I was
going to
say that. But between that and Animal Crossing, we need to, Jace and I will do a little checkpoint about.
Hey, you can make fun of Vitas, but I'm telling you, Animal Crossing sales, they're a force to be reckoned with. I mean, that game's doing well.
I mean, it's pretty. I will be tuning in just so I can sort of try to understand what the hell you and Aaron are always talking about back and forth.
I can promise
you. Because it sounds like you are on crack when you talk about it.
Yeah, you sell fruit. Oh, no. You check on, like, chores.
Oh, no.
Doing chores. You literally sound like a meth head. Like, you're just running around doing things to keep yourself occupied.
It's just funny that I'm better at chores in that game than in real life, but... Oh, no. See, now chat's got to the point where they're counting how many times I mentioned the game, so yeah. I'll take that as a sign. And then I've got some editorials still churning around my head based on The Last of Us. I hope to get at least one of those articles out this week. Trying to get 2 editorials out a week on the site, but Cole and Justin Gifford are also working on some stuff. So look to see more original creative written material on HorribleNight.com as well. But now, gentlemen, I want to hear your game pitches. Looks like Jason has our first base game to start from. This could get weird pretty quickly, but where do you want to go, Jason?
I mean, I'm just going to throw it out there. I think Ethan could probably run with this. I want a unicorn RPG. Now, whether you play as the unicorn or you play as the humans trying to defeat the evil unicorns, I don't care. Maybe both. Give the game some variety. Because everyone's always like, oh, unicorns, they're so pretty. Like, no, unicorns have to be the most evil, demented creatures ever thought about. In literature, cinema, TriStar, I mean, their logo terrifies me.
I mean, have any of you actually watched The Last Unicorn?
Yes.
The movie's terrifying.
The movie is terrifying.
Yeah.
It's too much. But if you could put that in a video game,
yes,
then I'm all for it.
I just want you to make a unicorn RPG that I want to play.
Exactly.
Like, it's got to be Unicorns of War or something like that.
What is it?
Unicorn.
Third person coverage.
Actually, I just want to see Marcus Phoenix's face on a unicorn. That's all I was really getting.
Or riding upon a unicorn. You know, I think it's quite the curveball to throw at people when, especially the demographic that's like, 8 to 12 year old girls, they're like, oh, it's a unicorn game, and the unicorns are just bloodthirsty, just ruining everybody. I wonder what sort of direction that would push the next generation in. I like the idea of an RPG unicorn game, but I was thinking, like, when I saw that, I was like, you remember in Final Fantasy VII when you raise the chocobos? And everybody spent way too much time doing that. Like, I feel like that, for some reason, that's just reaching out to me. It's like, you know what? We should just raise a bunch of unicorns and see what happens with them. Or,
see what happens.
Why don't you raise unicorns?
Yeah.
Right. It's a raising game.
Do people do that anymore? I mean, probably not, because they don't exist. Or what about Deal with the Story? You know, I remember people always tell me that, like, oh, the reason the unicorns don't exist anymore is because Noah didn't have room for them. Well, why don't we deal with that moment in a unicorn's life?
Oh, shit!
You know what I'm saying?
The unicorn's just getting left behind in the giant wave coming and sweeping over them.
Yeah.
Actually, they could fly, though.
So I like that new plot line.
I thought that was a Pegasus.
Yeah, that's different. That is Pegasus, different.
You're right. So that's terrifying even more so.
Can we do a Pegasus unicorn?
The Pegasus is the boss of the unicorns. By the way, the opening scene of the game, it basically needs to be a small girl from, like, you know, the early, you know, 1990s opening up her Lisa Frank book and coming to life. Thus, the unicorns are starting to rule the galaxy.
Oh, shit.
Oh, sticker RPG.
Okay, so Lisa Frank. Okay, Lisa Frank. All you see, here's what happens in the beginning. You see these, like, factory workers, like, stacking up all these Lisa Frank fucking binders, and then, like, this really skeezy scientist, like, looks in the camera and goes wink and injects something into them, and then it fast forwards to these little girls opening them up and, like, oh, mommy, thank you, I've always wanted this. Oh, I'm gonna be like my friends. And the unicorn just, like,
I'm paying my life.
And just fucking runs rampant, like Resident Evil style shit. Like, just all up in everyone's grill. You know? I mean,
do they call you Chris Redfield?
Who would see that coming?
Oh, my gosh.
And then Lisa Frank, like, gets called, like, Lisa, something's happened out of the factory. And she's just like, God damn it.
So you play as Lisa Frank.
You play as Lisa Frank, fucking killing the unicorns that have erupted from her fucking...
She's the only one that can stop them.
She's the only one.
And you draw. There's, like, a Mario Paint aspect to the game.
Well, I mean,
Lisa Frank. Okay, then you want to pull Pokemon into this, because then Lisa Frank has to draw other fantasy creatures onto binders and find the serum to inject into the fucking folder to bring more into it.
You're the only one, Lisa. You've got to do it. I gave that up a long time ago.
Is that Solid Snake? What was that?
I don't know what that was. It was Solid Snake and fucking Rex Colt powers and a little bit of everything. But,
it's basically just like an indirect sequel to Kingdom Hearts, using all those characters.
All the Lisa Frank.
I mean, we can start with David Hayter doing the voice of that dude, but for the sequel, we better get Kiefer. Once we made our money. That's wow, she's the... I mean, if you think about it... She is the unicorn expert at this point. If they were to show up again, her role in our society has completely changed. So I don't know if I can top that. Ethan, I got two mentioned. Which one do you want me to go with, the first one or the second one?
You got to go with the first one.
Okay. So back in our necromancer discussion during Timber and Stone, I just started thinking about how much of a dick that necromancer is. And then I could not think of a positive use for a necromancer. Are there nice examples of necromancers? So probably an RPG where you play as a philanthropist necromancer, or a nice necromancer. How can you use your powers to resurrect the undead for good?
That's actually, like, a legitimate idea. Like, I'm actually kind of...
I missed the point. Entirely.
I'm starting the unicorn Kickstarter right now. So.
Okay. It's on there right now. So you're a... Because the thing with necromancy, you always assume that everything comes back evil. But, I mean, why can't... Why, like, is the...
Resurrect everybody's
pets.
First dog that they lost.
Yeah. Just for a moment, just to be able to... Like, okay, think about all the people that couldn't tell their... This is going to get really sappy. All the people that couldn't tell their, like, loved ones, like, I love you, before they died. You, as that philanthropist, could go and do that kind of stuff. Or you can just resurrect people's, family members and use them as zombie slaves to build fences for you know, them. Because, I mean, that's really important in the zombie apocalypse.
Okay, how about this? You actually have to be fueled by evil, but you have to do your best to, like, basically hide that side of your business.
Like, masturbate it away?
No, I'm thinking that
okay.
You do like these PR...
I'm on a different playing field. Yeah. Go ahead, sorry. Go
you
ahead.
Do like these PR jobs where you like I said, you resurrect like the first pet that died for somebody on you, or you resurrect like a really famous celebrity or world leader or somebody important, but you have to build up so much evil power to be able to do something like this, that you also have this side business that is basically doing all the evil things that necromancers do, but you have to keep them a secret from. So this is definitely a simulation game, but
so you have to go around punching puppies and then saving dead puppies.
Yes.
I gotcha.
Yes.
I could do that. I could be on.
And I think the game starts off with that conflict of the puppy you're resurrecting is actually one you killed, and the kid tries to find you out. So.
Mm.
And then there's unicorns, and it's a much better game.
True. You're welcome. Maybe just, you know, mix those two together a little bit, you know?
Throw
cross franchises.
Cool. Throw in Teen Wolf as well.
Why not?
Just don't say Teen Wolf for me, Ethan.
Don't say Teen Wolf for me, yeah.
I think that's going to do it for this week's Night Force Action Report. Jason, successful debut, except for when you bailed on us there for a
while. I don't know what happened there. That was very strange.
Ethan, great enthusiasm to start the show. You're kind of stiff in the middle, though.
Yeah, sorry about that. I'll work on that.
I'm going to end all these now with evaluation reports. That's what everybody likes to hear. Justin, you did a fantastic job. Best host we could ask for. Chat, you're incredible. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't do it without you. Couldn't do it without you. Thanks for listening in tonight, and we'll see you guys next week. Later on.